It's a blessing to gather together, isn't it? It really is. Open your Bibles, if you would, to 1 John. 1 John. We'll continue our study in this wonderful book. 1 John chapter 1. Tonight we should finish chapter 1, so that in the new year, when we gather back together, we'll be in chapter 2. Chapter 2. The name of the message is confessing our sins. Confessing our sins. 1 John chapter 1, we're going to read from verses 5. From verses 5 to chapter 2, verse 2. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not, and if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father. Oh, praise God. Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Now, last week we looked at verse 7, along with verse 6, and we saw John bringing forth the difference between the false professor, and the possessor of true faith in Christ, the born-again, blood-washed saint of God. And we looked also at how the believer in Christ walks in the light. We walk in Christ. We have fellowship with the Father through the Son. And we have fellowship one with another through the Lord Jesus Christ. Through him. It's always through Christ. And we also rejoice to see that the blood-bought saints of God, their sins have been cleansed by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that all our sins have been forgiven. All our sins. The sacrifice of our great Redeemer, the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, who was God incarnate in the flesh, by his substitutionary sacrifice on Calvary's cross, in the place of his people, he and he alone, by the shedding of his precious blood, has cleansed his people from all their sins. And again, we see that the Lord Jesus Christ has accomplished, as we looked at on Sunday, a perfect, complete, God-satisfying atonement in our place. In the place of his people. And the scriptures proclaim this, truth, because it's the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that cleanses us from all sin. It's the blood of God's Lamb. The perfect, sinless sacrifice. With that in mind, let's read our text again. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. He's perfect. He's absolutely sinless. That's our God. He's holy. He's righteous. He's the Almighty One. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. If we say we have fellowship with him, and remember we looked at that as the trend of our life, right? If the trend of our life is darkness and sin, then we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. Notice the contrast here? My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Now take note of something we see here in verses 6, 8, and 10 of 1 John chapter 1. Take note of this in verses 6, 8, and 10. Look at these words, if we say. Now we know that these words here are speaking about false professors. If we say, John, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, is testing the Christian profession here. Those who claim various things. Take note of verse 6. Some claim to have fellowship with God and walk in darkness. Some claim that they do not sin and are, but we know they're deceived. We see that in verse 8. Some claim that they have not sinned and they make God a liar and His word is not in them. If we say, this is speaking of mere professors. But note in verses 7 and 9 and verse 1 of chapter 2, the absence of the words, if we say. Because these verses are speaking about true Christians. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Then verse 9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And in verse 1 of chapter 2, my little children, these things write unto you that you sin not, and if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. So the apostle is here before us contrasting the true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ from the mere false professor. He's stripping off the mask of the hypocrite, beloved. And you know what? This is all by inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God. Never forget that. That John penned these words under inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God. Those spoken of in verses 6, 8, and 10 of chapter 1 are guilty of making an empty boast, a false profession, and they're charged with falsehood. And John has brought forth the difference between genuine Christians, and note the privileges that the genuine Christian have. They walk in the light. They walk in Christ. They confess their sins. They confess their sins. And they also have an advocate with the Father. We have a mediator. We have a mediator, Jesus Christ, the righteous. So John is here drawing a contrast. We see him do that in this epistle. He also addresses the children of God as fathers, young men, and little children. He often draws contrasts. Look over in chapter 2, verses 16 and 17. He makes the things of the world, he brings them forth in contrast to the things of God. In verses 16 and 17, we're going to see this throughout this book. John is often drawing contrast. Look at this. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. He summed up right there the things of the world. Is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. See, there's the contrast. It's not of the Father. you saw the world. Let's go back to verse 8 now with that in mind. We'll read verse 7 as well. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. And then note in verse 8, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. We who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, we rejoice in the truth, don't we? We rejoice in the truth of verse 7 that all our sins are forgiven. We rejoice in that truth. We rejoice in the fact that we are washed clean by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But we also know that as long as we're in this world, we're going to battle with sin, aren't we? We're going to battle with sin. And verse 8 brings forth that if one says they are no longer a sinner, even after they're saved, they're deceived. I've ran into a few of these people through the years. I remember one specifically that I ran into out in Oregon. I called him a liar because he was lying. He says, "Since the Lord saved me, I've never sinned." And I've told you guys the story. I asked him, I said, "Are you married?" And he said, "Yeah." I said, "Have you ever got angry with your wife?" "You're toast." He is, isn't he? It's over. It's over. Yeah, we're sinners. To our shame, we're sinners, but there'll be a day when we won't sin no more. As long as we're in this flesh, as long as we're in this flesh, beloved, we will not be free from sin. We will not be free from sin. We're not free from the sinful nature, or we're not free from the sin that proceeds from the nature, from that nature. And the book of Romans makes that very clear. Turn, if you would, to Romans chapter 3. It's very clear. We've looked at this before, but I think it's profitable for us to look at it again. It's very, very clear in Romans chapter 3 that the whole world is guilty before God. And we know that even after we're saved, we're just saved sinners. We're just saved sinners. We struggle. That's why if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now that judicially, our sins are already forgiven. But we as believers confess our sin. We'll look at that later on. We confess our sin. Our sins are forgiven and bought and paid for at Calvary's cross, but we still confess our sin to the Lord. We confess that we're just but sinners. And when we sin, we go to him and we beg for mercy still, don't we? We do. We do. Look at Romans chapter 3, verses 9 to 12. Very clear here. What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have before proved, both Jews and Gentile, that they are all under sin. They're all under sin. Jews and Gentile, that's everyone. That's everyone. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. That's pretty clear, isn't it? Now, the problem, as I've said before, the problem is people just don't believe what the Bible says. They don't believe there's none righteous. But that's what the Scripture declares. That's what the Bible declares. This is why we need a Savior. Because there's none righteous. There's none righteous. No, not one. Praise God, we're made righteous by the righteousness of Christ. That's the only way we're righteous, isn't it? But in our natural state, there's none righteous, no, not one. Look at this. There's none that understandeth. No one can come to the conclusion or to know about God or Christ on our own. No amount of learning or reading will teach us who Christ is. He must reveal himself. The gospel's a revelation, beloved. It's a revelation. He must reveal himself to us. And then look at this. There's none that seeketh after God. That means what it says. There's no one that seeks God. No one. So you see the folly there of God's waiting for you to make a decision. No one will ever make a decision. Left in their own. But if we're made willing, we'll run to Christ. We'll flee to Christ. We'll look to Christ. If we're made willing in the day of God's power. There is none that understandeth, there's none that seeketh after God. They're all gone out of the way. They're all together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. That's the state of man. And you know what? Like I said on Sunday, this offends people. It doesn't offend me. Because that's where I was. And I'm still a sinner, but I'm a sinner saved by grace. Praise God. Praise God. Oh, I rejoice. So John, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, having told the church that the blood of Christ cleanses from all sin, let's go back to our text. He's told the church of God that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin. The guilt of our sins is gone, beloved. The guilt of our sins is gone. The penalty of our sins is gone. Because Christ paid it all. He paid it all. John brings forth here that the presence of our sin is not gone, because the saint still sins and still struggles against it. And if one says they do not sin, they're lying and they know not the truth. And we will sin until the day the Lord calls us home. And then, praise be to His mighty name, we will be absolutely free from sin. I was talking to your dear brother on the phone yesterday, and we were talking about Brother Drew, and we were talking about how we can't even really wrap our minds around. We'll be absolutely free from sin. Absolutely free. We won't sin no more. Oh my. And we'll be in the presence of the one who's the sinless one. The one who's made us righteous. The one who redeemed us with His precious blood. Oh, what a day that'll be. What a day that'll be. And we're struggle with sin, though. We're struggle with sin until the day the Lord calls us home. And then we'll be free from sin. And you know what we'll do? We're going to shout for joy, beloved. We're going to shout for joy. We're going to give praise to our great God and King. We're going to praise our Redeemer for eternity for what He's done for us. We'll be worshiping Him and adoring Him for eternity. Oh, it'll be a great day. And I ask you who believe, do you not know this to be true? That we're sinners? Do you not know? Do I not know that? Do we not know this to be true? That we sin every day? Does not sin bother you now when it never used to? And John brings forth, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Well, some may say, well, I've not sinned today. Really? Let's consider some things. Is pride sin? Well, you say, I'm not proud, I'm humble. Well, that exposes your pride. Because if we think we're humble, we're full of pride. Is not shortness of temper sin? Are we not supposed to be meek and long-suffering? But sometimes what happens, we go off like 4th of July fireworks, don't we? Sometimes. That's sin. Is not unbelief sin? Is there anyone here who's not guilty of unbelief one time or another? That's sin, eh? Is not gossip a sin? Is not envy a sin? What about jealousy? That's a sin too. It's not covetousness sin. Paul said it's like idolatry. Is not indifference sin? Is not greed sin? Is not lying in an exaggerating way sin? Lying's a sin, but exaggerating's a sin too. Oh my. Is not lust sin? Selfishness is sin? Well, that does us all in right there, eh? See, we're sinners. We're sinners. Oh, boy. Paul wrote, as we saw in Romans, we're all guilty. You see, when you start listing things, and that's just a little wee bit. To see the folly of people who say, well, I don't sin no more. Oh, just don't even go there. You don't even know. You're deceiving yourself. Like John said. Oh, my. I don't need to say any more because we're already all going, yeah, that's me. That's me. Oh, my. Paul wrote, we're all guilty of sin. But we're not all alike, are we? We're not all alike. We have different personalities, each one of us. And where you may be strong in a place, I may be weak. And where I may be strong, you may be weak. Right? That's just this how it is. But we're all sinners. But we're all sinners. We're all sinners while we're in this flesh. Spurgeon said this. I like this. Spurgeon said this about God's elect. Sinners in name, sinners by nature. Sinners in name, sinners by nature. But thanks be to God, I'm a sinner saved by grace. I like that. I like that. I'll read it again. I like that a lot. That's me. Is it you? Sinners by name, or sinners in the name, sinners by nature. But thanks be to God, I'm a sinner saved by grace. Boy, there's a lot there, isn't there? So here's our personal application. And think upon what comfort verse 7 can bring. It brings to the children of God who are born again. It brings to us knowing that although we struggle with sin every day, and we do, don't we? We struggle with sin every day. Every day. There's not a minute that goes by when we don't struggle with sin. There's not a second that goes by when we don't struggle with sin, if you really get down to it. But we struggle with sin, beloved. We struggle with sin. But here's the blessedness that we can get and draw from verse 7. That in Christ, all our sins are forgiven. All our sins are forgiven. Knowing that we are cleansed by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And even as we groan under sin, do you groan under sin? All the time. Right? All the time. Even when we groan under sin, which we're conscious of now when we weren't conscious of it before. We never groaned over sin before the Lord saved us. But since we've been born again by the Holy Spirit of God, now we groan over our sin. We groan over our sin. We groan over the indwelling corruption in sin each day that we commit. But think about the truth of verse 7 and the fact of the statement that the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Cleanses us from all sin. This will give the believer strength as we struggle. Strength as we struggle. As we battle the flesh every day. And beloved of God, each day the born again believer delights in the things of God, don't we? We delight in the things of God. And the truths of God. We delight in the truths of God. Well, all the time there is a war between the spirit and the flesh. Is it not so for you? Oh my. We struggle with sin every day, but praise be to God, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. All sin. What happens to the believer knowing that we are sinners and knowing even after we are saved we sin against God, and we see in verse 9 what happens? We confess our sin. We confess our sin, don't we? We confess our sin. Is it not so true? Is this not true, beloved? When we're convicted of our sin by the Holy Spirit of God, do we not confess our sin to our God? Oh, what a change that God wrought. Oh. And this does not mean that we confess our sins one to another. No, we confess our sins to our great God. We confess our sins to our great King. We are bought to know what we are. We are bought to know what we are. And what do? We take sides with God against ourselves, don't we? We do. We confess to Him that we have sinned and that we are still sinners. And the believer is the one who has a contrite heart, and is daily brought before our Savior, confessing our sinfulness, but praising Him for His mercy and for His love and for His grace, which is poured out upon us daily, isn't it? Daily in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, what a Savior. Oh, what a Redeemer is Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, there are six things. There's more than this. There's more than this. But here's six things to ponder that every true believer has in common. Every true believer has in common. First, every true believer loves the Word of God. We love this Word. We love this book from beginning to end. Even the passages we don't understand and the things that give us a hard time sometimes, where we go, but we're being convicted of ourselves, who we are and what we are, and we bow our knee to the Scripture. We love the Scriptures. We love the Word of God, the whole Word of God, because it's the foundation of our faith. It's the foundation of our faith. And God's people love the Word of God. They cherish it. They cherish the Scriptures, because it's given by the inspiration of God. Number two, every true believer fears the Lord. But this is not a slavish fear, but this is a reverent fear. We have an awe of who God is. We have an awe of who God is. Because we know that He is the Almighty One. We know that He is the All-Powerful One. We know that He is all-knowing. We know that He's omnipresent. He's everywhere at all the time. We know that, because He's revealed it to us. Because He's revealed it to us. He's revealed Himself to us. And what does God's people do? What do we do as believers? We bow down before Him, don't we? We worship and we adore Him. The third thing that believers have in common is that they cast themselves wholly and completely without reservation. Wholly and completely without reservation on the mercy of God in Christ Jesus alone. He alone is all our redemption. He alone is the believer's hope. He alone is our righteousness. And we cast ourselves wholly and completely upon Him. And the fourth thing that every true believer has in common is they love the brethren. They love the brethren. The Lord said in John 13:35, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you love one to another." This will be evident. It'll be evident that the believers love one another. It'll be evident. The fifth thing that every believer has in common is that they have an understanding. Well, it's not complete while we're here on this world, on this earth. We know in part, though, don't we? We know in part. We've been given an understanding of the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is He who has redeemed our souls. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we may know Him that is true, and that we are in Him that is true, and in His Son, Jesus Christ, and this is the true God, and this is eternal life. We now see the wisdom of God. We now see the wisdom and power of God in Christ. We didn't before, but now we do. We see the righteousness of God, the justice of God, the mercy and peace of God in Christ. And we now have an understanding of how that in Christ the Holy God could be just and justifier of those who believe on Christ. And as we grow in grace, our understanding of Him grows. And we know, because as our understanding grows, we know that outside of Him, that being Christ, there is no justification before God. There is no forgiveness of our sins. And we see how God in His righteousness, mercy, and love can justify a sinner in Christ. And the sixth thing that every believer has in common is what we see in verse 9. We know we're all sinners. We know we're all sinners. We know that we're struggling in this flesh. We know this. And we confess before our holy God that we are but sinners saved by the grace of God. And John is bringing forth in this verse again that we have a constant conflict, a constant struggle, inwardly and outwardly, with the old nature, with sin, and with the flesh. And we confess our sins to our great God. Look at verse 9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. How comforting this is for the believer. You ever find yourself wondering if you're saved because we're such sinners? You ever find yourself saying, how could the Lord save me when I am such a sinner? Do you know the believer in Christ can never lose their salvation? Can never lose the advocate that we have? Because it's God who keeps us. See, if it was based upon us, right, we'd be in a heap of trouble, wouldn't we? We would be. But it's all upon Christ. It's all based upon what He's done. All based upon what He's done. We know that not a day goes by or an hour goes by when the believer does not sin, because we see here if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just, forgive us our sins, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's not a day goes by, not an hour goes by, not a minute, not a second, that goes by when we don't sin. But we never lose our salvation, beloved. We never lose our salvation. We never lose our advocate. He will never abandon us. Because our great God, as we see here in this verse, is faithful and just. He's faithful and just. And note in chapter 2, verse 1 and 2, it does not say if any man is righteous, he has an advocate, does it? It doesn't say that, does it? No, it says if any man sins, he has an advocate. And this is speaking about believers. Oh, I love this. How comforting this is. My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. That's my advocate. Is he yours? That's my advocate before God. The only advocate God is happy with and satisfied in. The Lord Jesus Christ. Not only is he my Redeemer. Not only is he my Savior. Not only is he my Mediator. Not only is he my Surety. But he's my advocate, beloved. And if you're saved, he's your advocate too. And he's all those things to you. Isn't it wonderful? It's absolutely wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. And look at this. He's a propitiation for our sins. He satisfied God's wrath and justice in the law in our place. Oh my. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. All his people. Out of every tribe, kindred, tongue, and nation. He's the propitiation for God's wrath. It's wonderful. It's absolutely wonderful. Think of this, beloved. Think of this, you who are a born-again saint of God. Blood-washed. All our sins have been forgiven in Christ. All of them. Past, present, future. Because again, all our sins were future, wasn't it, at Calvary's cross? And Christ cried out, "It is finished." You're bought and paid for. You're purchased. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses you from all sin. Now you say that, right? And people say, well, then you're saying, you're saying you can go on out there and do whatever you want. Did I ever say that? No. Did any grace preacher ever say that? No. The love of Christ constrains. You always got to bring that in because it's true, isn't it? But we know we're sinners, don't we? But praise God, we're saved. We're saved by the grace of God in Christ. Saved. Saved, what a word. saved. The blood of Jesus Christ has cleansed us from all unrighteousness. Again, this does not give us a license to go and sin, but what comfort is drawn here for the saint of God? What comfort is found in these verses? What joy this can bring the believer in Christ. To know that God saves us and keeps us in Christ alone. Take note of the latter part of verse 9. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He is faithful and just. That's our God. So in verse 9 here, we have the sincere confession of the believer in Christ. In verse 6 and 8 and 10, we have the insincere confession of the mere professor. Let's look at those again, who has by their own words unveiled who they really are. Look at verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. So if the trend of their life is to sin, and they say, well, I'm saved, the scripture says they're lying to themselves. If we say we have no sin, look at verse 8, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Well, what do God's people say? We say we're sinners, don't we? Not to be proud of it. We say we're sinners, but we're saved by the grace of God, and we just are in awe that God would save us. And then look at verse 10. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. So someone says they don't sin, they're making God a liar. Think of the multitudes of unsaved people out there who say, I'm a good person. You tell them they're a sinner, they get mad at you. Trust me, I know. I've talked to enough of them. Some of them will spit at you. Some of them will get just hopping mad. You calling me a sinner? Yeah. God does. We saw that Romans chapter 3, didn't we? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Preacher's just repeating what God said. We're just declaring a report. What the scriptures say. Not my opinion, not your opinion, but what does the scripture say? We're all guilty before God. Oh my. That's man's state. God's word tells the preacher to comfort God's people. Comfort ye my people, saith the Lord. And what comfort we can glean from here. What strength can be given to the weak and weary? Are you weak and weary? Do you struggle with sin every day? Oh, what truths are here before us. The believer's saving interest rests on two things. God's everlasting covenant and the merits of his blessed Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, 100%. He is faithful and just. And we rest on that, don't we? We rest on that. We rest on God's everlasting covenant that he chose a people in Christ before the foundation of the world. And that covenant is ratified by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our Savior. In our Savior alone. It is he who has wrought out a complete, full atonement for the sins of his people. It's he who's done that. Turn, if you would, to Matthew chapter 1, where we'll look at this text and then we're close. It's he who's done this. It's he who's done this. Look at this in Matthew 1:21, a verse we're all familiar with. Matthew 1:21. In light of this, oh, this is wonderful. In light of our salvation is 100% in Christ and Christ alone. Matthew 1:21. And she shall bring forth a son, that's speaking of Mary, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall. Oh, that's wonderful. It doesn't say, well, he might, just if people let him. It doesn't say that, does it? No, it does not say that. Praise God. Because there's none that seeketh after God. There's none that's righteous, right? There's none that understandeth. But look at this wonderful verse. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Hallelujah. What a Savior. What a Savior. Note the Lord's purpose, his intention in coming to this earth is to save his people from their sins. That's his intention. That's his purpose for leaving the glories and splendors of heaven. And the believer in Christ can say, I'm one of those people. I'm one of those people. By the grace of God. By the grace of God. This is why God sent him to this earth, to save his people from their sins. The Father sent the Son, and the Son willingly came to save his people from their sins. The sinless, spotless Lamb of God. He came, beloved, to save sinners. That's why we confess our sin, because we're sinners, aren't we? And we're saved sinners, we who believe, but we're sinners. Praise God, he came to save sinners. He didn't come to save the righteous, did he? No, he didn't come to save the righteous. No, he's a friend of sinners. Christ is a friend of sinners. I'm so thankful. And he gave his life for the sinners. He gave his life for ungodly ones. Oh, what comfort we can draw here. What comfort we can draw from what we've looked at tonight. You are saved by the grace of God. You who are saved sinners, what comfort we can draw. We have an advocate with the Father. We have an advocate with the Father. We'll look at more in the new year when we get back together. Oh, we have an advocate with the Father. His name is Jesus Christ, the righteous, because he's the righteous one. He's the perfect one. He's the spotless one. He's the sinless Lamb of God. He is the righteous one. And he offered himself up without spot. And he rose from the grave, the sinless one, the spotless one, the Lamb of God. Oh, what a Savior, what a Redeemer he is. He gave his life for his people. And it is he who has cleansed us. We who are his blood-bought people, it is he who has cleansed us from all our sins. How? By the shedding of his own precious blood. Glory to his name. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Oh, what a Savior is Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy goodness that is poured out upon us. We who are your blood-bought people, oh, what mercy we've received. The forgiveness of all our sins, being cleansed by the precious blood of Christ. And though we know we're still sinners, O Lord, yet we are saved sinners. We who are your people. We who you purchased by your own precious blood. We pray that you would use this message to draw in thy lost sheep, O Lord. If it's your will, that you'd use it to draw in your lost sheep. To show them their desperate, desperate state before thee. Their desperate need for thee, O Lord. And we love you. We praise you, we who are your people. We thank thee. May this message give us joy and strength and grace to carry on. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen.